I thought we might address ourselves to a subject that was implied throughout the last 2 weeks. Christian charity in the modern world. Every once in a while we have to get hold of ourselves when we read the New Testament and tell ourselves that what the New Testament says is meant not just for the times when the Testament was written, but for all times, including our own. It is not as easy to practice charity in any age, especially when selfishness, as in our day, has been canonized and in cruelty is even idolized. My plan is to go over the teaching of St. Paul regarding charity that we've heard and read and I'm sure meditated on many times. The more I deal with people, the more convinced I am that there are two mysteries of our faith that especially need to be emphasized today. The divinity of Jesus Christ and the practice of selfless charity. What are the qualities of charity? They are enumerated and deserve to be memorized by St. Paul. In context, St. Paul had just said that no matter what else we may do or what other virtue we may practice, charity is the queen of them all. Then says Paul, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I've become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I have prophecy, know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith, even to move mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to the poor, even if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Evidently, in the whole world, there is nothing in moral practice that is more important than charity. Then Paul goes to the litany of the qualities of charity. They are sobering in the extreme. If I repeat the profoundest mystery to which we are to submit our minds is to believe that a small child held in his mother's arms is the creator of heaven and earth, and that is the fundamental mystery that we are to believe. Then, the practice of charity is the most fundamental mystery that we are to live by the submission of our will. Then Paul's description. Charity, says St. Paul, is patient. Meaning what? Is ready to suffer for the one whom it claims to love. Who is that? Jesus Christ. How much do I love him? Enough to be ready and willing and, more surprising still, eager to suffer. Continues Paul. Charity is kind. It not only does good to others, but hear it. It's the way that authentic charity loves others. Never angrily or harshly. Paul tells us, charity does not envy. In other words, no matter what other people may have, what they may achieve, that I don't have or I don't achieve, but it doesn't make me sad. That's charity. Charity is not pretentious. What an easy statement to make. Always, not only telling the truth, but what word shall I use? Living the truth, behaving the truth, acting not just sincerely, but honestly. No airs, no pretense. I deal with many people. I can tell you, there are not too many people who live a totally honest life. Never, never put on airs. Charity is not puffed up. The smallest thing we do, a trivial nothing, and may God forgive us, we think we are something. One reason I'm sure that God protects most people from achieving great things, he knows fat worm is going to be puffed up. Charity is not ambitious. My definition of ambition, using other people for its own advantage. There are many profound and beautiful themes that our present Holy Father is teaching us. There is none he teaches more frequently than this one. Love. Love others. Never use them. Charity. He is not self-seeking. So what's the opposite? Self-giving. All authentic love asks, what does someone need? Not, what can I somehow get out of even my practice of charity? Like, for example, the exhilaration of feeling good because I've done good. I know if I do this or continue doing it, I'll get no self-satisfaction. Silly, that's not love. Now, God will give us satisfaction. Hear it, always, when we love others. But not guaranteed self-satisfaction. Charity is not provoked, which in my limited vocabulary means not demanding. Oh, what a crescendo of emotional feeling from the bottom to the top we can show when we suggest, what would you think of, instead of do this, I said. The key to sanctity is not seeking my will. Even in the crude satisfaction I get from having people do what I know they should. Charity thinks no evil. Well, we should add a prepositional phrase. Charity thinks no evil, comma, about ourselves. But what violence we have to do to ourselves. Notice, think no evil about others. But Paul, we're liable to complain. How can I not think evil about other people when I see them do so many evil things? Paul says, I repeat, think no evil Well, that's impossible. Well, look at yourself. The stupidity, the folly that you perpetrate in a given day. Do we think less of ourselves? Oh, there are some such people. Well, that's rare. Naturally speaking, we think well of ourselves, no matter how much evil we know about ourselves. Apply that norm to our judgment of others. I have been counting around the 10th of St. Paul's Litany of Charity. There are 15 attributes. Charity does not rejoice over wickedness. What does that mean? Well, we may give lip service. What a terrible thing he or she has done. But we say to ourselves, well, I'd never do that. There can be a sneaky joy, which we won't even maybe admit to ourselves, that someone else has made a fool of himself, makes us feel better. Charity rejoices with the truth. Why? Because only the truth is pleasing to God. I don't hesitate saying that most of the 1,000 hours of television and radio fare heard or seen in America each day, and most of the thousands of pages of print in American newspapers each day are in one simple monosyllable, a lie. Just take the massive lie of making people believe that this, dear God, what folly, that this is the world for which we were made. What a hellish lie. So the world glamorizes the fools that live as though this life were paradise. Charity bears all things. Oh, dear Paul, thanks. Why? Because charity is founded on faith. And faith, St. Paul tells us, teaches us, that everything is part of the mysterious, loving providence of God, including the hard things, the painful things, including the painful things, which in other words is the things we don't like, bears all things, and most of the things that charity, if it is genuine, bears, have a person's name. Charity believes all things. This is not a silly, naive, imprudent faith. Charity trusts people according to what? Wisdom, enlightened by God, tells us this person should be trusted. Charity hopes all things. In the now more than 30 years of reflecting and meditating on these inspired words of St. Paul, what does he mean? Charity is the virtue of hope, which believes that God will draw good out of everything. Everything is part of God's providence. Everything is part of His plan. And here it's one of the most difficult, but I think most important, articles of our faith. The greater the evil, the worse the suffering, the more terrible the calamity, the more good God will draw out of what by all human calculations is a disaster. Charity lives in the future, which faith tells us is God's eternal presence. Finally, charity endures all things. To my dying day, I'll not forget my confessor before my ordination in Cincinnati, Father Charles Raymer, a great man, suffered intensely, a man of heroic charity, one day after confession I asked him, "Father, what makes you so cheerful? I know the whole community knows how much you're suffering, especially from the calumny of other people." Johnny said, "The secret of joy is to take it and keep taking it out of love for God." My own theological commentary on St. Paul's final quality of charity: it endures all things, takes it because it sees in everyone and everything, no matter how distasteful to human nature, the loving hand of God. Clearly, all of this is impossible to mere human nature. It is here. Here especially, you don't have to have a learned definition of divine grace. Divine grace in practice is what makes the humanly impossible practice of charity possible. That's grace. So we have only one possible concluding prayer. Lord Jesus, you told us to love others even as you have loved us. Give us the light to see that what you mainly want of us in life is the practice of charity. Give us the strength to love others selflessly, generously, patiently, wisely, enduringly, here on earth, so we may possess you in heaven in the company of those whom we have loved here on earth for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.